Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Walking with the Comrades is a 2011 nonfiction book by Arundhati Roy, published by Penguin and based on her time in 2010 living with Maoist guerrillas in the forests of Chhattisgarh in central India. The book is part reportage, part political essay, and part personal reflection. It examines the Naxalite Maoist insurgency, but it also moves outward to the broader conflict between tribal communities, the Indian state, and corporate interests tied to mining and development. Roy uses her firsthand observations to question official narratives about security, progress, and law and order. The result is not a neutral field report in the conventional sense, but a sharply argued account that blends on the ground detail with a wider critique of displacement, state violence, and extractive development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a firsthand journey into Maoist-held forest territory. The book is built around Roy's direct experience traveling with Naxalite Maoist guerrillas in rural Chhattisgarh, which gives it an immediacy that distinguishes it from standard political commentary. Rather than writing from a distance, she places herself inside a conflict zone and records what she sees, hears, and learns from the people around her. That perspective matters because the Naxalite movement is often discussed through headlines, security reports, or partisan rhetoric, all of which flatten its social context. Roy's eyewitness approach makes the terrain, logistics, and daily conditions of the forest central to the narrative. It also helps explain why the book is as much about place as about politics. The forest is not merely a backdrop, but the material ground on which control, survival, and resistance are contested. By entering that space, Roy aims to challenge simplified public images of insurgency and show how political conflict is lived on the ground by ordinary people caught between armed actors and the state. Secondly, Operation Green Hunt as a critique of state power and extractive development. A major argument in the book is that the Indian state's counterinsurgency campaign, Operation Green Hunt, cannot be understood only as a security operation. Roy presents it as inseparable from a larger push to clear land for mining and other forms of resource extraction. In this reading, the language of anti-rebellion hides a deeper struggle over territory, minerals, and control of tribal regions. The book therefore links policing, military action, and development policy into one political system rather than treating them as separate domains. This is one of the book's most important analytical moves because it reframes the insurgency as a conflict shaped by economic interests as much as ideology. Roy's criticism also extends to the idea of progress itself, especially when development is measured by corporate access and state revenue instead of human displacement. The book asks readers to consider who benefits when forest communities are removed and what kinds of violence are normalized in the name of modernization. Thirdly, tribal land, displacement, and the politics of belonging. Roy gives substantial attention to tribal or Adivasi communities because their land and livelihoods sit at the center of the conflict. The book argues that these communities are not peripheral to Indian politics. They are the people most exposed to the costs of resource extraction, militarization, and administrative neglect. By focusing on their relationship to the forest, Roy highlights a political reality in which land is not only an economic asset, but also a basis of identity, memory, and survival. This perspective makes displacement more than a bureaucratic issue. It becomes a form of social erasure, since uprooting forest communities weakens their institutions, livelihoods, and autonomy. The book's emphasis on land theft and forced dispossession also helps explain why armed resistance gains support in some regions. Roy does not reduce the conflict to a simple moral binary, but she consistently returns to the structural pressures that push marginalized communities into confrontation with the state. In that sense, the book is also an argument about belonging, who has the right to remain on the land and who gets to define development. Fourthly, women in the insurgency and the tension between liberation and patriarchy. One of the most striking features of the book is its attention to gender, especially the large presence of women within the Maoist movement. Roy notes that many women joined after witnessing violence against their villages, and she treats their participation as politically significant rather than symbolic. This matters because it complicates the usual image of armed insurgency as an exclusively male domain. At the same time, the book does not present the movement as fully emancipatory. Roy recognizes persistent patriarchy within Maoist organizations and therefore avoids turning female participation into a simple victory narrative. The result is a nuanced treatment of gender politics. Women can be politically empowered while still operating within hierarchical and male-dominated structures. That tension is one of the book's most useful contributions because it resists idealization. It suggests that liberation movements may challenge one form of domination while reproducing another. Readers interested in gender and revolutionary politics will find that this part of the book connects personal risk, collective struggle, and uneven forms of equality in a concrete, unsentimental way. Lastly, a polarizing form of political nonfiction, that blends testimony and argument. Walking with the Comrades stands out because it is not written as detached journalism or conventional history. It blends testimony, observation, and polemical argument, which gives it energy but also creates controversy. Roy is openly sympathetic to the communities and militants she describes, and that sympathy shapes the book's interpretation of events. For some readers, this is a strength because it offers moral clarity and access to perspectives often excluded from mainstream accounts. For others, it raises questions about balance and selectivity. That tension is part of the book's significance. It shows how nonfiction can function as intervention rather than neutral reporting. Roy is less interested in presenting both sides evenly than in challenging dominant narratives about rebellion, law, and progress. As a result, the book is best read as a political witness account with a strong interpretive stance. Its value lies not only in the facts it records, but in the way it forces readers to confront the assumptions behind state authority, development discourse, and public understanding of insurgency. In conclusion, Walking with the Comrades will appeal most to readers interested in Indian politics, social conflict, human rights, political nonfiction, and the relationship between development and displacement. It is especially useful for readers who want an insider-facing account of the Naxalite-Maoist conflict and are prepared to engage with a strongly argued perspective rather than a neutral survey. The book offers practical value as a window into how insurgency is tied to land, labor, gender, and state power, and intellectual value as an example of nonfiction that uses personal witnessing to challenge official narratives. What makes it stand out in its category is the combination of field experience and uncompromising political interpretation. Many books on conflict document events. Roy also interrogates the assumptions that make those events seem inevitable or acceptable. Even readers who disagree with her conclusions will find the book important for its vivid sense of place, its confrontation with extractive development, and its refusal to separate human rights from political economy. It is a compact but provocative work that remains relevant wherever resource extraction and state violence collide. If you would like to support Arundhati Roy, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.